Just want to say, those of you who've got the flowers, you know, if they wither and die, don't throw them away, because in the middle there's a chocolate, just in case you didn't know. It's not just a little bit of plasticine, it's actually a lovely chocolate in there. And thanks again to Jordan for actually spending so much time and making those happen. This particular passage that I'm looking at this morning is from Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31. And may I just say that when Rohan told me he was going to be speaking on Gideon and I was going to be speaking on Mother's Day, I must have asked, yes, that's cool. But as I came to actually prepare for this, I realized actually I should have gone for the Gideon passage. But it is actually, as you look into it, because it is God's Word, and that always happens, you come to God's Word and you think, I don't know what this is about. And as you look deeper, there's so much more that you can find within it. And that is true of this passage. It is a great passage. But I know that there will be some of you who will be saying, no, it's not. It's not a great passage. It's a scary passage. It makes me it's intimidating. It makes me feel inferior because of this woman. I mean, who can match up to Wonder Woman? And maybe there are some of you who are feeling like that this morning. I mean, check her out for a moment. Just look at some of the things that she does. Every spare moment, she is sewing and knitting for her family. You can see that in verse 13. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. Oh, that's a lovely, lovely eiderdown quilt. Who made that? No, that was Mom. And the clothes you're wearing, who made those? No, that was also so Mom. She made everything that we actually have in our home. Ah, quite a woman. It reminds me, in fact, of my gran. I remember this one Christmas, we were all together at Granny's house and we were opening up presents. And when it came to Granny's presents, all the girls got these cute little skirts that Granny had made herself out of old curtains. A little bit like Sound of Music. So this woman's always busy, always knitting, always making things. But there is more. She's like a merchant ship. You can see that in verse 14. It's saying nothing about her shape or her size. It's really about her going out and always looking for bargains and good things to supply for the home so that the cupboards are always well stocked. But there's even more. She gets up while it's still dark, verse 15. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family. So there she is. The rest of the family all still snug in bed. They're all still fast asleep. But Mom is up already. She's in the kitchen. She's putting the hot water on. She's making the tea, frying the eggs and the bacon. So that when everybody gets up, it's all ready. It's all prepared. Breakfast is ready for the family. A little bit different to some of you here, ladies, in our church. I do have sometimes get this, oh, I'm so tired. Whatever made them have church at such an unearthly hour? I hope you don't mind if I fall asleep in the sermon. Well, I do. There's only one person allowed to fall asleep in my church, and that's the person who actually has a condition where they can't stay awake. If you see me getting really excited at the front here, you'll know it's because somebody is falling asleep who shouldn't be. There is more, verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. So this woman is she's industrious. She's a businesswoman of note. She's out there involved in buying property. She's in real estate, and she's also starting a business. The impression you get as you sort of read through this particular passage, the impression you get is that she never grows tired. She has endless energy. She can do with next to no sleep. And you get that impression, well, you see that clearly in verse 18. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. Darling, come to bed, will you? Just hang on, I've just got to finish the accounts. But it's 2 o'clock in the morning. This woman is absolutely amazing. It's a little bit like the girl at school for some of you. The girl who had it all, could do everything. She was not only gorgeous, had a bod to die for, all the guys, you know, spending all their time around her, but she was also incredibly sporty. She was fastest at the cross country. She was the captain of the hockey team. But it didn't even end there. She was also incredibly clever. She was the top of the class. Don't you just hate people like that? Want to scratch out their eyes? I understand that there are some ladies who actually go on Facebook to try and track down this particular person, hoping like mad that they've actually messed up their lives. Don't you just hate people who are just so much better than you, because they do make you feel sometimes inferior. They make you feel like you haven't achieved what you should have done. And that is what this superwoman in Proverbs 31 could be doing for some of you. As you look at her, you say to yourself, how can I ever match up to this woman? I don't know if it helps, but maybe you need to recognize that what we have here is not actually an actual woman. Do you realize that? It's an ideal woman. It's a woman who's got a whole lot of gifts and abilities that have been strung together to show you the sorts of things that you should be aspiring for. And I say that for a couple of reasons. One, because no one could actually include or have all of these gifts and abilities in the one person. My wife Linda comes close, but she's not quite able to keep up with superwomen. But then secondly, and you won't see this in the English, but it's absolutely clear in the Hebrew, this is what they call an acrostic. Do you know what an acrostic is? It's where every verse starts with a different letter. So it would be something like, amiable is this woman, beautiful in every way, courageous when her family is threatened, devoted to those under her care. Every sentence starts with a new letter from the alphabet. And so this passage is actually an acrostic. And the suggestion, therefore, is that what you've got from the author is a list of attributes, qualities, that he's strung together, sort of like pearls on a bracelet. It's not an actual person, it's an ideal person. Some people, and a number of commentators go with this, they say that actually what you have here is not a woman at all. What you have here is in fact wisdom. Because throughout the book of Proverbs, wisdom is compared to a woman. And that makes a lot of sense when you think about it. Women are difficult to understand. You've got to work hard to fathom them. And there is this parallel that women and wisdom are similar. And so you get a lot of that. And so some people say that what you have here really is a woman described, but really it's wisdom that's actually at the forefront of the mind of the author. And that has implications for us, because what it means at the end of the day is that this is not just for women, it's for all of us, men included. These are the sort of qualities, these are the sort of attributes that we should all be aspiring to. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. Did you see that in verse 20? That's a great quality, isn't it? Somebody who puts the interests of others before themselves. She cares for people in need. And if you realize, we have ladies in our church who gave up the opportunity for getting married, for setting up a home, for having their own children, but actually gave themselves as missionaries to serve God in faraway places, who looked after the children of others, who cared for the sick in faraway lands, who took the gospel to people who did not know about Jesus. And if that's true for you here this morning, we do salute you. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet, verse 21. I take a service at the Mount Omni retirement village. I do that once a month. And there are a whole lot of mainly ladies there, and they're all in their 80s and their 90s. They can't do a lot. But what they can do, they do. They're there with their knitting needles, and they're knitting scarves, and they're knitting little squares, and they're knitting balaclavas, and they churn them out in their hundreds for people on the street, for the homeless, people who they will never meet, but people who one day, when they stand before God, will be able to give thanks for the protection that was offered to them from the cold. Her husband is respected at the street at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land, verse 23. Now, I don't know what comes to mind when you see that, but what I see is a bunch of guys gathered together, maybe in a pub or something like that, beer in hand, and they're talking about their wives. We do that. I don't know if you realize that. We do that sort of stuff. And the one guy is saying to the other guy, Brian, you have such a wonderful wife. She's absolutely amazing. I hope that you appreciate her. I hope that you praise her continually because she truly is a remarkable woman. Her children arise and call her blessed. Verse 28. Which I think speaks for itself, doesn't it? It's the sort of situation where children grow up and they look back and they say, Mom, you were, in line with that video that we saw, Mom, you were a great mom. You really were wonderful. And you were always there for us. And there may well be folk in our congregation this morning, you don't have any children. You're single. But what we've discovered, and this is something that we have recognized at Graceful, there are women who do not have children of their own, but they've become mothers to us. They really have. And there are a number of you that I can think of, and you have just been so great in encouraging us, in supporting the rest of us, in looking after us, and providing for our needs. And we want to thank you too. So as we look at this particular passage, we realize it's not just applicable to wives. The fact that she's a wife is in one sense incidental. She could have been a single woman. Doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter what your present state is. You may be single. You may be married. You may be a single mother. That doesn't matter. In God's eyes, you are still special and precious. And what God really cares about is not what your past is about, but what you will do with your future. And how much you will seek and strive to put these attributes in your own life. How much you would aspire to be like this person who's described here. Our passage begins with the question, a good woman, or a woman of noble character, who can find? And the impression is really it's difficult. It's going to be hard to find such a woman. You can look far and wide, but you might not find this particular person that you're looking for. And I think what the psalmist is saying is you need to narrow down your search. You need to be more specific where you look. And the place where you are to look is discovered is in verse 30. Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. I remember speaking to a young guy who, I can remember it clearly, explaining why he married the lady that he, or how it came about that he married the lady he eventually married. And what he said was he was meeting different ladies, but somehow they were just never the sort of right for him. And then one day he went into a church. It was empty except for one particular person who was at the front of the church, sitting in one of the pews, and she was praying. And as he watched her engrossed in prayer, he said to himself, I want someone like that. I want someone who fears the Lord. And these attributes, these qualities we've been describing will not be found or will not be discovered in the beauty parlor or on that rowing machine or on the treadmill in the gym. As important as those things are, don't get me wrong, I think there's a great place for those things. But these attributes, these qualities will be discovered as one spends time in God's presence. That's what I think the fear of the Lord is speaking about here. It's not a scary, cowering sort of fear, but it is a fear where one comes with what one could call a respect or even a reverence for God, where one is able to say, God, you are amazing, you are incredible, you are great, you are powerful, and yet you still love me. And I love you. And I want to know you, and I want to serve you, and I want to do what's pleasing in your sight. That, I think, is what the fear of the Lord is speaking about in this place, in this passage. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So what do we do with all of this in closing? What do we do with this passage? Well, I think first of all we've recognized it's not just speaking about a housewife, it's speaking about wisdom, it's speaking about something that all of us can aspire to. Work hard, don't be lazy. Spend wisely. Invest in the future. Be generous. Care for the needy. It's these sorts of things that will cause people to rise up and call you blessed. But then lastly, I think there is a word in this passage for those of us who are men. And you can see that in verse 31. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. In other words, I think what we have here is a particular directive to us men to appreciate the woman in our lives. We do need to acknowledge their achievements often. Too many men say, well, she knows. She must know that I appreciate her. No, she needs to hear it from you. You need to tell her continually. We need to praise the women in our lives for their acts of kindness. We need to thank God for each one of them. And when you see scones and cream, don't just gobble them down. Do ask yourself the question, I wonder who's put so much energy and effort into this. Find out who they are and thank them. When you see a lovely notice about Mother's Day that's been done by hand and specially prepared, and ask yourself who lovingly made this happen. Find that person in the church and just go and tell them what a great job they've done. And if you are a husband, never tire of telling your wife how much you love her. Amen. Linda's is going to read a short statement for us. Thank you. Not.